The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hoo-hoo-wee, folks. Welcome on into a Wednesday, August 28th edition of Sports Talk, the second half. It's me, Steve Gella, along with Cullen Steele, taking until 8 o'clock tonight after the first break. We'll get into some sound from Dennis Allen. He addressed the media after today's practice for the Black and Gold, touching on a bunch of topics, including the practice squads edition, which are out for the team. You can go check that out, of course, at WWL.com. Do a quick rundown of all the names that the Saints have added now to the practice squad after yesterday's cuts. You got safety Jonathan Abram, Ugo Amadi, another safety, Kevin Austin Jr., wide receiver, safety Millard Bradford, tackle Josiah Ezerim, tight end Mason Fairchild, guard Kyle Hergel, linebacker Kalike Hudson, tight end Michael Jacobson, running back Jacob Cabote out of ULL, defensive end Nico Lalos, guard slash center Shane Lemieux, kicker the Irishman Charlie Smith, linebacker Isaiah Stallbird, missed a touchdown in the preseason finale, wide receiver Equiminia St. Brown, and also defensive tackle Kendall Vickers. The team also acquired Kenna Wanu off of waivers from the Minnesota Vikings. He's a running back, but mainly a special teams guy. I think he's got 3 total touchdowns in his career, which I mentioned in the Sports Flash. So those were the moves so far for the Black and Gold. Everything, though, still far from set on the 53-man roster as well as the practice squad. It's a fluid situation, as they'd say, Colin.
I was going to use that exact word. That is like the perennial like go-to if you're going to name this roster anything right now. It's fluid. We had Deuce on earlier, and you might have heard, you might not have heard, but he was talking about how like this is probably who you'll go with for the Panthers game. I mean, that makes sense. We're like, what, like 10 days out of that?
Right.
9 or something like that. But this is not remotely... You could probably bet money on it. I don't know if you should, but you could probably bet money on the fact that this isn't what you'll see in week 2. You sure as hell won't see this in week 4. Like, you will see names come and names go. We don't really know who that will be, as our talk line has popped up throughout the day. Could we see some O-line action? I would want to. I'm not upset that the names we went for today, apart from the practice squad signings, were a running back who would mainly be help on kick returns, and then a defensive tackle over from the Commanders with John Ridgeway. But, you know, we'll see those additions. I don't think they want to jump at the first bite, so to speak, you know?
Yeah, I think that was kind of a surprise for many Hoodats out there. It's like, all right, they made some additions here, but no offensive linemen at this point yet. And we'll see what ends up shaking out with this team. I think, obviously, they do like what they have in-house. They've been working out these guys, getting them all ready for the season. And it's not as easy as it sounds just to plug and play any kind of piece that you do pick up at this time.
Yeah, no, and you're not going to get the cream of the crop right now. And you might not get the cream of the crop by week 4, like what Deuce said. Like, you might not find that guy. I know we had Jeff Duncan on like last Wednesday, and he was like, you might look at the early September window for the Saints as similar to like a transfer portal. You might see them try to chase a lot of guys specifically on that offensive line. But, you know, don't be – you're not going to get Trent Williams, okay?
Like, yeah,
just
exactly.
Keep the expectations, you know, somewhat leveled. Expect something to occur, but don't shoot for the stars.
Yeah, I think your best hopes and dreams can be a reliable veteran that can give you some consistent play on and off, not relied upon every game in and, you know, game in and game out.
That's what you could hope. I mean, like, you can't be frustrated about who we already have. You can't be frustrated about the decisions you've already made. And other people were like, why are we chasing? Like, specifically with John Ridgeway, people are on our text line are like, why don't we? Like, why are we immediately picking a defensive tackle? Maybe who's out there and who's available now is just not someone they're interested
in. Dealing with some injuries, too.
Or that, too. Like, there's someone they're not interested in, someone who's already injured, and they you know, they want someone who can play now. They're not going to pick more development. We're already developing an offensive line, so.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the coaches know exactly what this roster needs.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they might know a little bit more than me and some others.
Looking at some MLB action, want to point out the Washington Nationals up 2-1 currently over the New York Yankees. Why do I point that out? Dylan Cruz, folks, was called up this week. He got his first MLB hit yesterday, and now he has jacked his first home run ever in the majors. Dylan Cruz went yard today off of Carlos Rodon of the New York Yankees, so congrats to him. We've been seeing Paul Skeens today also pitched. I want to check out real quickly how he did, because I know that Cubs-Pirates game was a high-scoring one. Chicago ended up winning 14-10. Skeens ended up going 5 innings, gave up 2 earned runs, a walk with 6 Ks. So he wasn't the bulk of the runs that were given up there when he pitched, but and did not suffer the loss either. He remains now, what is his record? 8-2 on the season for Paul Skeens, and just been a phenom since joining the Pirates this season from the minor leagues, but not the betting favorite anymore to be Rookie of the Year, surprisingly.
I think it's because like the hype has kind of died down a little bit. I think
and being on the Pirates hasn't helped.
No, God, no. he's still producing, but not nearly as much. I've got my eye on that that September 5th through the 8th bout between him and the Nationals. I want to see Skeens.
Oh, Cruz.
Oh, yeah.
That'll definitely be a great battle. Hopefully he's in the pitching rotation for that one.
You have 4 games.
Oh, okay, great.
Like, you got to hope that at that point it's kind of just like, will you see Skeens, hopefully?
Yeah, you would think so. In a 4-game series, definitely a better bet on that.
I would pray.
I want to get into our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line before we head to a break. Jimmy wants to talk waiver wires and some of the practice squad signings. Jimmy, what you got for us?
Hey, look, first off, I'm hoping the rain holds out. Tulane football tomorrow night at Yeoman, Thursday night. Katrina anniversary Thursday night against SLU. Some great football starts tomorrow night. You got Deion Sanders against North Dakota State. Some of the Coastal Carolinas playing. So, yeah, it really kind of kicks off tomorrow. Look, the 3 players, guys, I watched coming out of the draft was Michael Pratt. And, you know, seeing where Spencer Rattler coming to my favorite football team, obviously – he's a fan favorite, right? Watching his development, seeing what he's done, amazing. I think he's got a bright future here. I think we got a major steal there. And then the 3rd one, Frank Gore Jr. Again, he's a free agent, Southern Miss running back. No one's picked him up. I'm really glad, if Charlie's listening, the Saints at least got Cabote back. But like you guys said, is this the fact we haven't made a move on OL on offensive line, does that mean just wait and see? They're waiting for the Plinko chips to fall down as they may, and what talent might fall through the cracks still? Or is this a vote for Trevor Penning being what we hoped he'd be when we drafted him in the first round?
Well, first of all, Jimmy, Frank Gore Jr. did get picked up by the Bills, so he's on their practice squad. As for Michael Pratt, bit of a head-scratcher locally. A lot of us thought he'd be going higher in the draft. Then it looked like he had an ideal situation there, going to the Green Bay Packers, but didn't even last there. So was released and then picked up now by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, unfortunately, we got to root against Pratt now.
Yeah. I mean, ever since the draft, I've been kind of curious as to, like, what occurred.
Right.
And, like, because wasn't he, like, everyone – it's similar to Rattler. He fell, but Rattler didn't fall nearly as far. But Rattler, you know, was, like, late 2nd round, early 3rd, and Pratt was, like – you know, late 3rd, maybe 4th or 5th at the most or something like that. And then he fell to 7th. He was like 5 to 10 picks away from being Mr. Irrelevant. And like, I understand that, you know, the Packers aren't searching for the guy right now. They think they've got him. He's the highest paid guy for a reason at the moment.
But you think it's still another young dude that you could end up grooming in your system.
100%. And Mike mentioned it to me earlier. I can't even remember if we were on the air or off the air about how, like, he heard that the Packers might be trying to find a veteran to back up Love on the instance in which he goes down. I guess maybe you pull a Joe Flacco and, like, comeback player of the year or something. Somebody to keep the team a little stable. But who did they just trade for? Malik Willis? I don't know if that's much of a veteran, like... I think that's the only 2 guys on their team.
Rumor is Jameis Winston's on the trade market from the Browns.
I heard today that he isn't at all.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's like I heard yesterday that it was like, okay, Watson's safe. Winston and what
the other
guys?
The rumor mill has
Huntley?
Changed.
Huntley, I guess?
Yes.
Yeah, they're both like, they're on the chopping block plot, possibly. They're not going to keep three guys. We'll keep two, all that. And I heard earlier today that the, again, could be a rumor, that Winston is safe. That doesn't mean he might not get traded, but I don't think he'll get cut.
Right, they're trying to get something for him, but I just don't know what any team would be willing to give up for Jameis Winston, seventh-round pick at best.
As much as some
folks here love him for whatever reason.
Like, maybe a six, but like that's probably too much.
And as for Jimmy talking about with Trevor Penning, I fully believe that he's going to be your starting right tackle going into this year for the Saints. And if things falter, if it doesn't work out, he'll get the hook, and it's going to be Ole Udo getting the chance to run with the ones there. But other than that, as of right now, no, the team hasn't brought in anyone. And you would think, though, not just for that situation, just even at the guard spot, that you're looking for some veteran depth along there that you can definitely rely to plug and play
1,000%.
in case of emergency situation. I don't think you're getting a starter on the open market right now.
No. But at the same time, I think, you know, he was like, you know, are all your eggs in the, you know, waiver wire? Let's see, you know, what falls out of someone other team's basket and we pick up.
I wouldn't think a trade
think
is impossible, but you're looking at starting offensive linemen. People aren't giving away.
I think it's both. I think you are both, like, crossing your fingers and hoping that both Udo or Penning develops, specifically Penning more than Udo, but you know, if Udo comes out of nowhere and just like takes a job, like I'm not going to say no to that. But you're not going to, like, if Penning starts doing good, I don't think you're going to shut the door on, you know, finding somebody else.
Like, no, you've heard coaches say he's always looking to improve the team,
always.
Obviously.
And
that's
like, that's nothing against Penning. That's nothing against anybody else. It's just like, I don't think Penning could take 30 steps forward, and I still think that door might be open for at least a good chunk of the season. And
you just don't know right now. Obviously, with him, we've seen, I hate the term too, one that's overused, those flashes from him, but there have been too and few and far too many between there.
I've seen progression. Progression is the word that we hear so much throughout the camp.
But a lot of time you just see that technique seems to go out the window with him, and he forgets what he's doing.
I know. It's like, I do like that he has been fantastic on the run game. He's been beautiful on the run game. You see that play where he like sandwiched a guy to the ground and then like backed up and dove on him. And I was like, first off, is that allowed? I was like, are you not going to get a flag for that?
He's letting a lot of aggression out, too.
Yeah. He's like, I don't get to do this against Chase Young in practice. Like, let me do it here kind of deal. I'm fine with it. But again, like, I think the Saints are going to have 1 foot in the door, 1 foot out the door with both Penning and Udo. And you're not going to close a door all the way or open it until you're certain. And nothing is certain right now with this offensive line.
With Penning, definitely a big dude. You know, he's got a mean streak in him. So hopefully he can bottle that up and for the Carolina Panthers week 1 and completely body some folks to and help, you know, lead the Saints offensive line to a Saints victory.
Yeah, you might win some points to the fans if you just like absolutely destroy a guy or two.
Yeah, suddenly it's like, you know, Pancake Trevor.
Yeah, and it's like, you know what? Maybe you're not too bad.
When we get back from the break, we're going to dive into some audio from head coach Dennis Allen. Spoke to the media today after practice. A late start for the Black and Gold. It was a 5 p.m. press conference from Dennis Allen. So this audio hot off the presses, folks, when we get back right here on WWL.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back here on Sports Talk, before we dip into our sound of head coach Dennis Allen, I want to let you know the New York Giants have done a first with permission from the family of legend Ray Flaherty. Former LSU Tiger Malik Nabers will now wear the number 1 for the G-Men. Flaherty's number was the first to be retired in pro football history. So a pretty big moment for Malik Nabers, right?
Oh, my God.
And his statement that the Giants put out on Twitter, Malik Nabers says, "Want to thank the Flaherty family for allowing me to wear the number 1 for the New York Giants. I understand the responsibility, and I will do everything in my power to honor the Flaherty family and this organization. I'll wear the number 1 with great pride. Can't wait for the season to start." Man, those LSU boys always making the news.
Oh my God, dude! His name was the only thing I heard throughout Giants camp,
right?
Because Giants camp is so big, it's New York. I mean, come on, you're gonna hear about it. But they have so much faith in him, and I love it. I love it so much. I can't wait to see. I hope Daniel Jones bounces back for the sake of Malik Nabers, but I cannot wait to see what his future looks like.
Yeah, definitely tough when you look at your fantasy football draft, especially locally. We want to get a guy like Malik Nabers on your team, but it's like, what round do I end up going for him in? I would definitely think one of the later rounds just because of his quarterback.
That's what I'm saying. Like, personally, I'd pick him earlier, but dude, that's just because I'm like...
All these Saints and LSU players tend to usually go pretty earlier in local drafts.
I know. I didn't get to do that this year. I'm in a dynasty league, so we...
Although, one I am curious about, how far does Kamara drop? Because I feel like a lot of folks are down on him just because of age and also the offensive line, honestly.
I actually think the inverse. I think a lot of people are high on him because of the new offensive scheme, at least. They're hoping that he gets... You know, like, you're not going to see Christian McCaffrey, but you'll see Christian McCaffrey-esque. You'll see something akin to that.
We'll take that.
Are you kidding me? Like, we'll take 75% of what he can do. And Kamara can do 100% of what he can do. It's just, will he work in this? I think he will. Time will tell.
Right, exactly. That'll be coming up, not this day, but next Sunday, the season opener in the Superdome against those Carolina Panthers, NFC South rival, right off the bat for the black and gold. Head coach Dennis Allen spoke after today's practice session with the practice squad set now for the black and gold. Here's what the head coach had to say to the media.
That was good to get back out and practice. I feel like it's been forever since we've had a practice. You know, with player day off on Monday, Tuesday was a lift and run, and then we pushed everything back, you know, this morning. So it just feels like it's been forever since we've practiced. So it was good to get back out there. You know, part of the deal with this week is to try to get our guys back, get their legs back up under them a little bit, and yet still get some work. So we'll get a little bit more work tomorrow, and then the players will have Friday, Saturday, and Sunday off.
How much of this week is about Carolina, or is it still kind of more like internal?
Well, there's still a few things that we're working on just in terms of ourselves, and yet We've begun that process in terms of getting ready for Carolina and part of the game planning process.
Marshawn, full participation.
He would have been, I don't know if we have to say anything, but I think he would have been limited today. But he was back out at practice, and things look positive for him.
Dennis, without giving up too much of his specific role, I mean, I know the concept of a number two receiver is sort of a false concept, but it is the vision for Rashid Shaheed, like, more steps, more volume, more responsibility?
I think that's dependent on him. You know, what's the volume that he can handle? And if he can go out and execute a large volume of plays and continue to be a playmaker for us, then yeah, I think we'll see more.
What is it that he most needs to show that he can do, a variety of routes?
Well, look, I think this. I mean, we have a new offensive staff, and he missed a ton of time in training camp. So I think that's still, you know, to be seen. So I think we've got to get into some of these practices. We saw a few things today. Look, the encouraging thing is he certainly looked fast. You know, I thought our guys, you know, I thought there was a lot of speed on the field today. So, you know, that was good to see. And so I think with him, it's him in a new system with new coaches, and our coaches seeing what he can handle and the things that he does really, really well. And I think that's going to be a work in progress. You know, if I'm the play caller, then I'm needing to see a few things to really know, hey, this is what this guy does really well. This is how I can put him in these positions to have success.
When you have a guy like Rashid, who's obviously the all-pro returner, but he's also going to be more involved in the regular offense, is that something you have to balance? Do you have to kind of limit that a little bit?
Yeah, I think we got to see how everything plays out, you know, first and foremost, and then we'll make decisions, you know, what we think is best for us and our team, and gives us the best chance to win. And so, yeah, I think we'll just have to see, you know, what that volume is in both regards.
What's kind of your approach or message to the team that, you know, when it comes to blocking out outside?
Well, I'll be honest with you, I don't know that I've spent a whole lot of time talking about it. I think we got enough things going on here to focus on and, you know, handle our business with inside the building. I think that's just one thing that you have to you know, learn to do as a, you know, whether you're a professional athlete, you're a coach, you're in the front office, whatever the case may be. You know, we have a profession where, you know, everything that we do is lived out in the public eye, and everybody has opinions on, you know, what we're doing well or what we're not doing well, and that just comes with the job, you know. And so, but we don't really spend a ton of time, you know, talking about it.
What do you like about John Ridgeway? What's kind of
Look, I think he's big, physical, and I think, you know, he's a young guy that, you know, we kind of liked in the draft process. And so I think, you know, if you're able to add a guy like that, you know, it's a defensive tackles don't grow on trees. There's not a lot of 6'4", 6'5", 320-pound human beings walking the earth. And so when you find one that you think's got some athleticism and some power, you know, bringing somebody like that into the fold is, I think, I don't know that you can ever have enough of those type players.
How much did Colin Saunders' injury kind of add maybe the need to look for another one?
Well, look, I mean, I'm sure that's probably some of it, and yet, you know, we were going to need to add another defensive tackle anyway, whether it be on the practice squad or to the active roster, whatever the case may be. So I wouldn't say that was the driving force to that decision.
You guys didn't have any offensive linemen from outside the building. And do you feel better about having the right candidates in that group overall?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, I do. And look, each situation is different. You know, if we felt like there was a guy that was available that could upgrade our football team, then I feel like we would have done that. And again, you know, the guys, people aren't just giving those guys away for free either, you know. So I think we continue to look at all options available to us and see if they make sense for us. If they do, then we try to formulate a plan to execute it. And, you know, if they don't, then, you know, we got to move on.
Question about Derek. Last year, when we talked about the criticism, you made it pretty clear that you thought the criticism he received was unfair. I'm wondering, like, how maybe, do you think he was maybe graded against Drew in the Kirk? You know, like, you guys Drew Brees.
I mean, I think everybody's graded against Drew here, you know? I mean, I just think that's the nature of, you know, our business. And you know, I think it's always difficult to follow a Hall of Famer, you know? And so, yeah, that's challenging, and I think that's the standard that we're used to here, you know, and so, you know, we've got to get back to being able to perform at that type of standard.
And you've seen him embrace that and all this stuff.
Yeah, look, he's embraced the competition. He's embraced, you know, proving himself. He's embraced being the quarterback here. I think he's in a really good spot right now.
And as you talk about standard and getting this team back to where it was, how important is this season for you personally?
Yeah, I think every season is important. You know, I mean, I don't know that there's ever been a coach that's gone into a season saying, this one's not really that important. You know, they all are. You know, so I don't try to think about or worry about, what can happen if. Every day I've come into work since I've been a coach, I've come in to try to do the best I can to help the team win, whether that's as an assistant, whether that was as a coordinator, whether that's been as the head coach. And so I don't think you go about your job any differently, you know, and so that's what I'm doing.
The returner you guys found, is that a spot that you guys wanted to ask him to, or is that just opportunity?
Well, look, I think a few things there. I think he's a big back, all right? He's got return skills, and he's got four core capabilities. And so I think that was something that we were looking for, not necessarily as a running back, but who has some return skills and who has some four core, you know, capabilities. And so he's a guy that we were extremely high on in those regards and excited about getting him.
Doesn't have a ton of carries. Do you see him in the mix at running back at all?
Well, I think that's going to take a little bit of time. The cool thing for me, and I think for us, is, you know, that, well, he was in the system early on with Clint, And then I don't think what they're doing in Minnesota now is too dissimilar to, you know, what we're doing here now. And so I think there's going to be some carryover in terms of the scheme. So I think it remains to be seen. We'll see, you know, what he can do. But we're excited about working with him.
It's maybe a dumb question. Can you elaborate on what you meant for core?
Yeah, so that would be kickoff, kickoff return, punt, punt return. Those would be your four core special teams deals.
Head coach Dennis Allen after today's practice session. And, yeah, the Saints are in regular season mode right now, so your viewing time for practices have been cut significantly. Just 30 minutes you get to see stretch and a little other stuff with them. But the good signs from that practice was cornerback Marshon Lattimore, Kool-Aid McKinstry, also wide receiver Rashid Shaheed, and Mason Timpton all back practicing throughout the portion that at least the media got to see.
Yeah, and you heard at the very beginning that Lattimore, you know, if someone asked if he's full, Dennis said you don't really have to use any of those terms right now. You probably will next week. I don't know. Maybe you could use it late this weekend.
But he was gracious and shared with us.
He said limited.
Right.
Which is better than nothing. But, you know, it's good to see those guys back out there. As you may or may not have heard, Kendra Miller was off to the side again. We'll see when he comes back. Hopefully that's sooner rather than later. But we do know that he has been given that IR designation, correct?
Yes, exactly.
So even if he's, you know, 100% tomorrow, he can't come back until week five, right? Is it week four or after week four?
After week four,
after
right.
After week four. So he'd be, isn't that what, that's the Chiefs, no? Yeah, no, because it goes, what, Panthers? Yeah, no, it would be, because it's Panthers, Cowboys, Eagles, Falcons,
right.
So he'd come back right before, I mean, that's a Monday night game. He'd have a little bit more time, an extra day or so, but that's a rough game to come back in.
It's just hard to fathom anything with Miller right now just because out of sight, out of mind.
You're not going to want to – I mean, when he comes back, where is he on this depth chart?
Right.
Like, you know, it goes probably Kamara. It goes Williams. Is Mims your three?
I would think so,
and
yeah.
And then at that point, like, Hill maybe, Adam Prentice maybe.
You just put Taysom everywhere on
Kabote,
the depth chart.
Like, yeah, if you got he's a Band-Aid on the depth chart. But you've got to wonder, like, you know, when he comes back, you're not going to – especially with this offensive scheme, especially because it's so new and he's only literally seen it. He hasn't done much. He was, what, 10 minutes into the first day of camp or something like that? You're not going to shove him in that three or four. You might make him the fifth at most, probably dead last. I hate to say it.
Unfortunately, he's just been damaged goods basically since coming over in the draft. We did see, though, that hope, that glimpse of him in that regular season finale against the Atlanta Falcons. And I think that got people a lot of stoked, obviously, because of the way he looked. And obviously, you did it against a division rival. And, you know, you kind of consider guys that can do it against the NFC South, your gamers that you can rely on. And it looked like maybe Kendrick could be that guy. So there was a lot of, I think, expectations with fans, the team, and even I know fantasy football goers, a lot of folks were saying, whoa, 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 pump the brakes on a guy like Alvin Kamara. You got to watch Kendra Miller in the Saints backfield this year. And like Bobby Hebert would say, not so fast right now.
Yeah, no, not so fast. I think, you know, you hold out a hope that he'll come back and he'll come back really, really strong. But again, you saw Kabote. Your running back room isn't hurting right now.
That first touchdown run from him is pretty damn impressive.
I mean, and we're talking about the new guy from the Vikings, Kenne. He is a running back. Like he might do something. He might, you know, he's on the, you know, practice squad right now, but he could be in that conversation, you know, kick Taysom over back into tight end, and he could show up in that room.
Mentioned the Cajun Cannon there. Want to give a shout-out and condolences to the Hebert family. Bobby's mom passed away this morning, so prayers and love to the Hebert family. We definitely miss you, Cajun Cannon, and we'll be talking to you soon. Hope you and the family are doing well. We're going to do well when we get back from the break. We shall return and get into your calls on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Chime in now, 504-260-1870, when we return right after this on WWL. Tomorrow night, we got Tulane football season opener. Sunday night is LSU's, but on Saturday, you can hang out with the Cajun Cannon, Deuce McAllister, and Mike Dettillier. Saturday, 1 o'clock, a WWL Sports Talk special at the Rouse's on Chapultepec. We'll celebrate football, the start of LSU and college football season, the official start of the NFL season, and of course, Labor Day weekend, folks. Hallelujah. Come out and say hi to Saints legends and WWL resident pros Bobby Hebert and Deuce McAllister, along with NFL and college football analyst Mike Dettillier. That's Saturday, 1-4 live from the Rouses on Chapatulis on WWL and, of course, the free Odyssey app. Looking at some of the news coming out of the NFL today, seeing on social media, there has been a trade in the NFC South. The Falcons dealing quarterback Tyler Heinicke to the Chargers, getting back a conditional sixth-round pick. That's a new backup quarterback for Justin Herbert in L.A. now.
I'm fine with it. Isn't he? He's injury-prone on a team that I think is genuinely isn't. It's Bobby, right? He's the one that's high. I know someone in the building.
Bobby's high on him because of Harbaugh.
I
think sure. Yeah, great. The coaches.
I am
all right,
on a degree. But like Harbaugh's carrying it for me. Like if I have any faith in the team, it's him and kind of Herbert. But
right.
Like,
but what else is around him? That's the problem.
We joke all the time.
Yes.
Who does he have to throw the ball to? He's got Ladd McConkey and what, Quentin Johnson or something like that.
And at running back, I think, what is it, Gus Edwards?
Something like that. But it's like they just don't.
They have a decent defense, I think, the Chargers. But offensively, I'm kind of curious about what their production's going to be like.
I
also got burned big time on Austin Eckler last year. He's not with the team, though, anymore. He's in Washington.
With the Commanders. And I just don't have the faith. I don't have it. I really don't.
No, your main man is now in Chicago with Keenan Allen.
Yeah. And you don't. I'm not expecting too much from him there, but that's only because that wide receiver room is stacked to the. That is like.
You got a nice 1-2-3 combo for sure.
Are you kidding me? Like, that might be the best 1-2-3 in the league. You've got.
That's
why
Justin Fields is like, shucks, you guys got rid of me now?
Yeah, like, you guys are giving me a high. You know, Fields was not given too much to work with, but. And another thing that happened earlier today with regards to Fields is Wilson named the starter.
Yeah, I don't think that was a surprise over Fields, but we'll see what Mr. Dangerous can do out in Pittsburgh. I'm just not convinced he still got it, especially
I was surprised it went on this long.
Sean Payton was ready to part ways with him mighty quickly.
I told you this in the break, man. I think Fields will give you lower lows. You might lose games by more points, but I think his consistent play and his peaks are well above Russell Wilson's. I think Wilson's in like the waning years. Whatever it is, when you're beyond your peak, he's beyond that. Like, you're not going to get much from him. I think Wilson is the safe option, and that team has, you know, in the absence of Ben Roethlisberger and in the presence of Mike Tomlin's consistency, all he wants is a safe, consistent option. And in a division like that, that might do you some good, but the whole talk of the town has been like, will this be the final nail in the coffin? Will this be the time where Mike Tomlin finally goes under 500? Will his time be done in the NFL as a head coach or at least with the Steelers?
Everyone's always trying to kick him out.
I don't know if I believe his time is done up there, but I don't think Wilson's the answer, not remotely.
No, it's hard to believe, too. I was just checking out. How old is he now? 35 years old for Wilson. Been in the NFL since 2012.
It's just like, I saw, oh my God, Dalvin Cook to the Cowboys earlier today. And there's all these memes about whenever.
There you go. That's a classic guy that people still think he's got juice in him just because of a name.
Oh, yeah. There's so many. Whenever you see a sign in like that, people talk about like, oh my, like the
how did they get that?
The Cowboys just picked up this guy. And then they show a highlight reel from like 2017. And the running joke is always you can read the stats at the bottom and it's naming players that, you know, have been out of the league for 7 years, something like that. And it's like, one I saw earlier today was with Wilson having an incredible game, still with the Seahawks. And it's like...
Yeah, what the good does that do the Pittsburgh Steelers right now?
No, it's just, you don't... I just don't trust... I don't trust Wilson. I think you might have more consistent play, but you'll consistently lose. Fields will be more volatile, that's the word I use. He'll give you more ends of the spectrum, but I think...
It's a fluid situation at quarterback there. We'll see.
You need it there. It's like, I'm just stunned that they went with the safety pick, as even though it's dangerous. I don't think it'll work. What about you?
I think you're going with the name and experience, obviously, with Wilson and the potential that he has shown.
Good experience.
But yeah, I'm not really sold on Russell Wilson either. I was honestly never a big Russell Wilson guy, even back in the Seattle days.
I mean, they traded for him, and I just wasn't like I was somewhat pumped for the Fields trade. I was like, what are you doing? Like, Wilson is the kind of person you get, and this is like the Packers thing. You slap him in the depth chart at 2 or 3, and you say, you got, you know, 15 years in the league, 12 years in the league. Tell me what you know. I don't want you to be out there. You know, you throw balls, you stay healthy in case we need you, but be the Joe Flacco, you know, hopefully you don't have to play, but be the Joe Flacco, be the, you know, the shining old guard who can give me the things that coaches aren't and that playing will, but you'll give it to me now instead of 5 years down the line when I learn those experiences from my own play.
I think the quarterback that I'm most excited for this season, and just the regular season and also fantasy football, a guy like Joe Burrow. Hopefully, okay. Hoping he can stay healthy. Obviously, that's been his biggest knock. But, man, I know he's got all the tools. He's got that top-notch receiver over there, even though Ja'Marr Chase is still looking for a new deal after seeing all these contracts being doled out. The coach said he expected him to practice today. Well, he was there, but he was in street clothes, not in pads and a helmet.
I don't know, man. I mean, the bleached hair can hear you so far.
I'm a believer in Slim Shady Joe Burrow.
I'm a believer in the Bengals. I'm a believer in the bleached Burrow.
Bleached Burrow, yeah,
I am
go.
Not a believer in anybody surviving in the AFC North. It's a bloodbath. It's as much of a blood. Like, down here, it's a bloodbath because we're bad. Everybody's just bad. But up there, it's a bloodbath because the worst team in that division will still go, like, 10-7. And down here, it's like, you'll go 2-15, and you'll be like, all right, good year, guys.
Yeah, all in all, like you said, I expect the NFC South to be a pretty tight dog, you know, fight between Atlanta, Tampa Bay, New Orleans. Like it or not, folks.
It'll be tied, but it's a consolation at the end of the day. Like no one expects, even the Falcons, no one really expects you to do anything in playoffs. You just won't make much noise.
At least just make it. Make the dance, and you'll see what happens.
For us, at least.
We're going to take a break. When we get back from it, we'll get to your phone calls. Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. It's 504-260-1870 right here on WWL. Welcome back in as we close out the 6 o'clock hour of Sports Talk. I want to remind you folks, you can have this show delivered directly to your phone and absolutely free. You can listen to all 4 hours, one specific hour, or just the hottest clips. All you got to do is download the free Odyssey app and follow Sports Talk. It is that easy to do. We realize also you can't always listen to this entire show live, so just want to make it easier for you to tune in when you want, how you want. That's for this show and any of the great shows you love on WWL. Just download the free Odyssey app today and take control, or tell your smart speaker, play WWL. Cullen, at your house, you got a smart speaker?
I do, yeah.
You use it often or not really?
I don't.
Do you feel it's like a listening device in the house?
It's much more like a Alexa set a 10-minute timer while I go make mac and cheese. I did have something I wanted to bring up from the Oakland Heart Talk and Text Line. We had a 79-85. What is Coach Allen waiting for to name name Rattler the team's QB number 2? He is clearly the better player.
Well, I don't know about clearly, but definitely passed the final exam. I think we talked about this the other day.
He's trending.
With some flying colors there. For me, though, from what everyone was saying out with the California training camp practices, was that Haener was your more consistent guy in those settings. But obviously, what counts? Those game day situations, that final matchup was a great showing from Rattler. Me personally, just going from that, I would have Rattler number 2, but it doesn't really give you any benefit right now, I guess, to name one. We'll be back with more Sports Talk after the top of the hour news.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Tomorrow night, we got Tulane football season opener. Sunday night is LSU's, but on Saturday you can hang out with the Cajun Cannon, Deuce McAllister, and Mike Dettillier. Saturday, 1 o'clock, a WWL Sports Talk special at the Rouse's on Chapultepec. We'll celebrate football, the start of LSU and college football season, the official start of the NFL season, and of course Labor Day weekend, folks. Hallelujah. Come out and say hi to Saints legends and WWL resident pros Bobby Hebert and Deuce McAllister, along with NFL and college football analyst Mike Dettillier. That's Saturday, 1 to 4, live from the Rouse's on Chapultepec on WWL, and of course the free Odyssey app. Looking at some of the news coming out of the NFL today, seeing on social media, there has been a trade in the NFC South. The Falcons dealing quarterback Tyler Heinicke to the Chargers, getting back a conditional 6th-round pick. That's a new backup quarterback for Justin Herbert in L.A. now.
I'm fine with it. Isn't he? He's injury-prone on a team that I think is genuinely isn't. It's Bobby, right? He's the one that's high. I know someone in the building.
Bobby's high on him because of Harbaugh.
I think
the coach is
I am
all right,
on a degree. But like Harbaugh's carrying it for me. Like if I have any faith in the team, it's him and kind of Herbert. But
right.
Like,
but what else is around him? That's the problem.
We joke all the time.
Yes.
Who does he have to throw the ball to? He's got Ladd McConkey and what, Quentin Johnston, or something like that?
And, at running back, I think, what is it, Gus Edwards?
Something like that. But it's like you don't – they just don't –
they have a decent defense, I think, the Chargers. But offensively, I'm kind of curious about what their production's going to be like.
I'm not expecting – I mean, I think
– I also got burned big time on Austin Eckler last year. He's not with the team, though, anymore. He's in Washington.
With the Commanders, and I just don't have – I don't have the faith. I don't have it. I really don't.
No, your main man is now in Chicago with Keenan Allen.
Yeah, and you don't – I'm not expecting too much from him there, but that's only because that wide receiver room is stacked to the – that is like
– you got a nice 1-2-3 combo for sure.
Are you kidding me? Like, that might be the best 1-2-3 in the league. You've got –
that's why Justin Fields is like, shucks, you guys got rid of me now?
Yeah, like, you guys are giving me a – you know, Fields was not given too much to work with, but – and another thing that happened earlier today with regards to Fields is Wilson named the starter –
yeah, I don't think that was a surprise over Fields, but we'll see what Mr. Dangerous can do out in Pittsburgh. I'm just not convinced he still got it, especially
I was surprised it went on this long.
Sean Payton was ready to part ways with him mighty quickly.
I told you this in the break, man. I think Fields will give you lower lows. You might lose games by more points, but I think his consistent play and his peaks are well above Russell Wilson's. I think Wilson's in like the waning years. Whatever it is, when you're beyond your peak, he's beyond that. Like, you're not going to get much from him. I think Wilson is the safe option, and that team has, you know, in the absence of Ben Roethlisberger and in the presence of Mike Tomlin's consistency, all he wants is a safe, consistent option. And in a division like that, that might do you some good, but the whole talk of the town has been like, will this be the final nail in the coffin? Will this be the time where Mike Tomlin finally goes under 500? Will his time be done in the NFL as a head coach or at least with the Steelers?
Everyone's always trying to kick him out.
I don't know if I believe his time is done up there, but I don't think Wilson's the answer, not remotely.
No, it's hard to believe, too. I was just checking out. How old is he now? 35 years old for Wilson. Been in the NFL since 2012.
It's just like, I saw, oh my God, Dalvin Cook to the Cowboys earlier today, and there's all these memes about whenever...
There you go, that's a classic guy that people still think he's got juice in him just because of a name.
Oh yeah, there's so many, whenever you see a sign-in like that, people talk about like, oh my, like the
how did they get that?
The Cowboys just picked up this guy, and then they show a highlight reel from like 2017, and the running joke is always, you can read the stats at the bottom, and it's naming players that, you know, have been out of the league for 7 years, something like that. And it's like, one I saw earlier today was with Wilson having an incredible game, still with the Seahawks. And it's like...
Yeah, what the good does that do the Pittsburgh Steelers right now?
No, it's just, you don't... I just don't trust Wilson. I think you might have more consistent play, but you'll consistently lose. Fields will be more volatile. That's the word I use. He'll give you more ends of the spectrum, but I think...
It's a fluid situation at quarterback there. We'll
see.
You
need it there. It's like, I'm just stunned that they went with the safety pick, as even though it's dangerous. I don't think it'll work. What about you?
I think you're going with the name and experience, obviously, with Wilson and the potential that he has shown.
Good experience.
I'm not really sold on Russell Wilson either. I was honestly never a big Russell Wilson guy, even back in the Seattle days.
I mean, they traded for him, and I just wasn't – like, I was somewhat pumped for the Fields trade. I was like, what are you doing? Like, Wilson is the kind of person you get, and this is like the Packers thing. You slap him in the depth chart at 2 or 3, and you say, you got, you know, 15 years in the league, 12 years in the league. Tell me what you know. I don't want you to be out there. You know, you throw balls, you stay healthy in case we need you, but be the Joe Flacco, you know, hopefully you don't have to play, but be the Joe Flacco, be the, you know, the shining old guard who can give me the things that coaches aren't and that playing will, but you'll give it to me now instead of 5 years down the line when I learn those experiences from my own play.
I think the quarterback that I'm most excited for this season, and just the regular season and also fantasy football, a guy like Joe Burrow, hoping he can stay healthy. Obviously, that's been his biggest knock, but man, I know he's got all the tools. He's got that top-notch receiver over there, even though Ja'Marr Chase is still looking for a new deal after seeing all these contracts being doled out. The coach said he expected him to practice today. Well, he was there, but he was in street clothes, not in pads and a helmet.
I don't know, man. I mean, the bleached hair can carry you so far.
I'm a believer in Slim Shady Joe Burrow.
I'm a believer in the Bengals. I'm a believer in the bleached Burrow.
Bleached Burrow, yeah,
I am
go.
Not a believer in anybody surviving in the AFC North. It's a bloodbath. It's as much of a blood. Like, down here, it's a bloodbath because we're bad. Everybody's just bad. But up there, it's a bloodbath because the worst team in that division will still go, like, 10-7. And down here, it's like, you'll go 2-15, and you'll be like, all right, good year, guys.
Yeah, all in all, like you said, I expect the NFC South to be a pretty tight dog, you know, fight between Atlanta, Tampa Bay, New Orleans. Like it or not, folks.
It'll be tied, but it's a consolation at the end of the day. Like no one expects, even the Falcons, no one really expects you to do anything in playoffs. You just won't make much noise.
At least just make it. Make the dance, and you'll see what happens.
For us, at least.
We're going to take a break. When we get back from it, we'll get to your phone calls. Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. It's 504-260-1870 right here on WWL. Welcome back in as we close out the 6 o'clock hour of Sports Talk. I want to remind you folks, you can have this show delivered directly to your phone and absolutely free. You can listen to all 4 hours, one specific hour, or just the hottest clips. All you got to do is download the free Odyssey app and follow Sports Talk. It is that easy to do. We realize also you can't always listen to this entire show live, so just want to make it easier for you to tune in when you want, how you want. That's for this show and any of the great shows you love on WWL. Just download the free Odyssey app today and take control, or tell your smart speaker, play WWL. Cullen, at your house, you got a smart speaker?
I do, yeah.
You use it often or not really?
I don't.
Do you feel it's like a listening device in the house?
It's much more like a Alexa set a 10-minute timer while I go make mac and cheese. I did have something I wanted to bring up from the Oakland Heart Talking text line. We had a 79-85. What is Coach Allen waiting for to name name Rattler the team's QB number two? He is clearly the better player.
Well, I don't know about clearly, but definitely passed the final exam. I think we talked about this the other day.
He's trending.
With some flying colors there. For me, though, from what everyone was saying out with the California training camp practices, was that Haener was your more consistent guy in those settings. But obviously, what counts? Those game day situations. Yeah, that final matchup was a great showing from Rattler. Me personally, just going from that, I would have Rattler number two, but it doesn't really give you any benefit right now, I guess, the name one. We'll be back with more Sports Talk after the top of the hour news. Welcome back in as we close out the 6 o'clock hour of Sports Talk. I want to remind you folks, you can have this show delivered directly to your phone and absolutely free. You can listen to all 4 hours, one specific hour, or just the hottest clips. All you got to do is download the free Odyssey app and follow Sports Talk. It is that easy to do. We realize also you can't always listen to this entire show live, so just want to make it easier for you to tune in when you want, how you want. That's for this show and any of the great shows you love on WWL. Just download the free Odyssey app today and take control, or tell your smart speaker, play WWL. Cullen, at your house, you got a smart speaker?
I do, yeah.
You use it often or not really?
I don't.
Do you feel it's like a listening device in the house?
It's much more like a Alexa set a 10-minute timer while I go make mac and cheese. I did have something I wanted to bring up from the Oakland Heart Talking text line. We had a 79-85. What is Coach Allen waiting for to name name Rattler the team's QB number two? He is clearly the better player.
Well, I don't know about clearly, but definitely passed the final exam. I think we talked about this the other day.
He's trending.
With some flying colors there. For me, though, from what everyone was saying out with the California training camp practices, was that Haener was your more consistent guy in those settings. But obviously, what counts? Those game day situations. Yeah, that final matchup was a great showing from Rattler. Me personally, just going from that, I would have Rattler number two, but it doesn't really give you any benefit right now, I guess, the name one. We'll be back with more Sports Talk after the top of the hour news.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.